Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Take your Bible and we go into the Gospel of St. Luke. We go into the Gospel of St. Luke. In chapter number 8, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 8. The Gospel of St. Luke in chapter number 8. We read 4 verses there from verse number 40. The Gospel of Luke of St. Luke in chapters number 8, and we'd read from verse number 40. Would you mind standing in honor of God's precious word as we read verse number 40 into verse number 44. Luke 8, 40 to 44. It reads, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched or quit." Verse 41 is the verse this morning that I would have to center up my thought around, where it reads, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought or begged him that he would come into his house." In a nutshell, Jairus is saying, "I want you, Jesus, to visit my house." This morning, that's going to be the thought that I'm going to build upon. Visit my house, Lord Jesus. Let's pray, and then you'll be seated. Father, we are ever thankful for the opportunity we have of opening your precious word, being encouraged, being challenged, finding direction, finding help, and then, Father, Lord, seeking you. I ask, O God, that as we continue with the process of the service this morning, you would take the few things that I'm going to share, you would store our hearts, and Father, you'd allow us to go home becoming passionate of asking you to go home with us. Lord, strengthen and strengthen the church, we pray, as we come to the end of this service, in Jesus' precious name. God's people say, amen and amen. You may be seated. I've read in your hearing this morning just a few verses of scripture. And if you notice those verses of scriptures there, you'd notice that in verse number 40 it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus was returned." Then it tells us that there is a man named Jairus, and how he, Jairus, fell down at Jesus' feet, begging him to go home with him. But by the time you get to verse number 43, It tells us that there was a woman, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. There are three incidents. There are three connected activities in the short passages of scripture we've read. The first one is Jesus returning. The second one is where we're going to focus on the message this morning. And the third one is the woman with the issue of blood. Now, the question we'd have to ask is this. Jesus is returning from where? Hear me well this morning. There is nobody like the Lord Jesus. There will not be any person like the Lord Jesus. Jesus remains, commonly speaking, top of the shelf. The most important person, the most powerful person, the person we need most in our life, as far as I'm concerned, is the Lord Jesus. Now, in the text before us, that could easily be proven. Why? You see, verse number 40 tells us, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the issue is this. Jesus left Capernaum, or the Galilee region, and he went across the sea to deal with a particular situation. He went across the sea, if you read back up into the chapter, and he dealt with the demoniac of Gadara. He went to that across the sea, endured or had to deal through a storm. And when he got to the other side, there was a man on the next side that was possessed with many demons. Evidently, it looked as if the man having all these demons there in Luke chapter 5, and the account is also in Mark chapter 5, or Luke chapter 8, that man possessing with all those demons, it looked like if he's going to die in that poor condition. Jesus is absolutely wonderful. There is nobody Jesus desires to die in a condition that they're not supposed to die in. Jesus makes that trip across the lake so that he, Jesus, could attend to the man. You say, why are you saying that? Because when you read the scriptures, everybody else that attempted to help that man failed. Everybody else. And I could easily say, maybe they employ the psychologist, he failed. They employ the man who would bind him with fetters, and he failed. And his family evidently come to the realization that nothing seemingly could be done, and they gave up on him. But Jesus has all power to transcend or go beyond what everybody else thinks nothing can come out of. He makes that trip across the lake, and he helps the one man. Then they pushed him out. You see, when Jesus helped the man possessed with the devil, the people in the area said, we don't want you around here. Why? Because when Jesus commanded the devils to leave the man's body, the devil said, listen, there is a bunch of swine feeding on the hill. Send us into the swine. And Jesus said, go. And these demons got into the swine. The whole 1,000 or 2,000 pigs rushed down into the sea and died. The people that are seeing after these animals said, we don't want Jesus around here. He is killing business. 2,000 pigs just plunged into the sea. And so they said, get out of our area. Well, the truth is, Jesus came on a mission. His mission was to attend especially to this man. Now he gets back to Capernaum. He gets back across the sea. And notice verse 40. When he gets back across the sea, the Bible says there is a waiting crowd. It says the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Watch this. Jesus came from across the sea. He helped a man across here. The people across here are saying to him, we don't want you. He goes back over to this side, and the people on this side is saying, man, we're glad you're back. The Bible said they gladly received him. Why? They were all waiting for him. The people that are waiting for Jesus is a good representation of the church. Who are you waiting for right now? Who are you looking for? I'm looking for the return of Jesus. One of these good days, he's going to burst the eastern sky, and our Lord Jesus Christ is going to receive us unto himself. The church is pictured as the waiting crowd. But watch a little closer, you see something. In the waiting crowd, and I said that the church makes a good picture of the church. In the crowd that is waiting for Jesus, verse number 40, 41 says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. Matthew tells us he's a ruler of the synagogue. Mark tells us he's a leader. He's in a waiting crowd. He's in a crowd that is glad that Jesus comes back. But while he's waiting in that crowd there, he has a need. He has a situation. He has issues to deal with. I don't think that's the only reason he was waiting for Jesus. But knowing fully well that when Jesus returns here, Jesus could help him with that need. Jairus walks out of the crowd. And I want you to bear in mind, it is not three persons. It is not Jesus and the disciples coming back, and there are 10 people on the shoreline waiting for him. There is a crowd waiting for him. Jairus is going to, for a moment, ignore the crowd that is there and have his requests given or met. Read with me verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. What does the Bible say he does next? And he does what? And he fell down, verse 41, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him or besought him. Watch this. Jairus, Jesus comes back. Everybody's happy. He comes back. Jairus has a burden. He has a brokenness. He has a situation. He finds himself at the feet of Jesus. He didn't care who was there or who wasn't there. His need, his situation is driving him that he gets to the feet of the Lord Jesus, which is an action of worship. He comes with a right attitude. He comes with a worshipful attitude. He comes down at the feet of Jesus and he goes down on his face. If you read Matthew or Mark, he goes right down at the feet of Jesus. You say, are other people looking at him? I think they are. They're watching him and wondering, what is he doing? But you see, his need, the need of his heart, they don't know about it. Everybody don't always know what you're really dealing with. Especially when you're dealing with something as needful as he's dealing with. He comes down at the feet of Jesus, and the Bible said, with that worshipful, prayerful attitude, he begs him. The Bible said, and besought him. Meaning, he didn't just say, Jesus, I'd like you to go home with me. The attitude in the text is this. He's saying, Lord, I really need you. Our attitude is going to affect our response. He said, Lord Jesus, I need you. I really need you. What do I need you for? I need you to visit my house. Friend, I want you to know this. There is a purpose. What's the purpose of the request? Why is Jairus asking Jesus to go to his house? Why is Jairus ignoring the crowd, getting into worship, and getting, so to speak, very personal? Why is Jairus becoming so personal? What's the purpose? And the text tells us. There is a purpose for Jairus making the request to visit his house. Read with me and see if we can find it. Verse 42. What is Jairus saying? He said, for he had what? How many? When you have one of a type, you don't ever want to lose it. One daughter, no evidence of sons, or maybe he has sons. But he has one daughter. That's the only daughter. And that one daughter he has is in desperate need. Daddy is carrying a burden. A burden that he wished he didn't have. The purpose of his request is that he wants the Master, Christ Jesus, to help fix a situation that he, Jairus, cannot fix. What is the situation? His one daughter. I don't know how many of you in here has one daughter. I have two. And I'd be very much on my knees if I found especially any one of my children in a situation like this. How old is the daughter? Verse 42 tells us. You see, sometimes you have one daughter, she's already grown, she's 60. You still don't want to lose her, but at least she'd live life. Here is a one daughter at the age of 12. She has not lived life. She hasn't seen anything. The truth is, she is still very tender and precious. And the Bible says that one tender, precious little daughter is lying on a bed, dying. Jairus knows that, listen, he cannot do anything to change or divert the process of death. It looks as if Jesus does not make that visit, I would have to bury my precious child. Hear me well this morning. It is important for Jesus to visit us to stop the possibility of impending death. It is important for us to get a visit or have a visit with him, because if he doesn't visit, death would be the result. Yes, there is a purpose in Jairus' request. He wants Jesus to visit so that death would be reversed. The text tells us, if you jump quickly down into verse number 47, verse number 49. Jump into verse 49. It says, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is what? Dead. Trouble not the master. So Jesus leaves to go with Jairus. And while they're going, he deals with the woman with the issue of blood. He stops a minute and attends to her. And by the way, there is a great point here. Jesus could attend to everybody's need, even if he's going for a specific need. Remember, he just had the man who had the demons. He is going with Jairus to help him at his home, but there is a woman on the street. I believe she came out of the crowd with a need, and she didn't say anything. She only thought it through, and she said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I think I'd be made well. For 12 years, I have been sick with this particular complaint. And so what does she want? She wants a healing hand from the Lord. Jesus is able to heal. I am not Pentecostal. I don't go close to that line. But I know beyond any measure that the God I serve is a God that still possesses the power to heal. I mentioned it in the Sunday school this morning. We don't carry no magic potion. I don't believe that a preacher carries and he has the power to heal. The power to heal is in the hand of God. And we pray and believe God and ask God to intervene. And there are times I have seen the intervening hand of God. The woman says, listen, if only I could touch him, I believe I could be made whole. And she did. Jesus attended to her. But while he continues on his journey to Jairus' house, he gets a bad report. Anybody ever get bad report? He gets a bad report. The report is, the father just got a message, and this is the message: trouble not the master any further. It doesn't even make sense having Jesus to come any further. Because if he comes any further, she's already dead. He needs the visit because Jesus can bring life out of what people think is already dead. Jesus said, hold on a minute. Read it with me quickly. Verse 49 says, he said, trouble not the master, because thy daughter is dead. Verse 50 says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not. Who is he speaking to? He is speaking to Jairus. He said, listen, don't let what you hear make you change your mind as to what we're really going for. Because what we head out for, we're going to accomplish. Let me make sure show that the faith stays where it's supposed to. Fear not. Don't let what you hear bring you to a state where you become so fearful that you cannot function. He said, fear not. Why? Believe only, and she shall be made whole. In other words, what we're setting out to do, we're going to accomplish. I'm going home with you. And when I go home with you, as you requested, we would accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Folks, there is always an important purpose in us asking Jesus to go home with us. We need Jesus to go home with us so that death wouldn't take place where life should be. We need Jesus to go home with us that we could get help where we cannot help ourselves. We need Jesus to go home with us so that restoration could be made. When it seems as if it's all down, restoration could be made. We need Jesus to go home with us, because if he doesn't go home with us, there is no salvation. We need Jesus to go home with us, because when he goes home with us, information as to what to do next will be given. And all we could derive out of the passage. Jesus, go home with us. There's a purpose. There's a purpose in asking him to go home with us. But I also want to mention this quickly this morning. There are places, not just a purpose, there are places that I believe we need to ask Jesus to visit. In the scriptures, the word house is mentioned. Go back up with me quickly. In verse number 41, it says, Jairus, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come where? Into his what? He wants him to go home with him. There are four usages of the word, at least four. I think there's five, but at least four usages of the word house in the Bible. And in every case of the use of the word house, we can be as Jairus and ask the Lord Jesus to visit. Every house of that particular type needs a visit from the master. I'm talking about divine visit. The first house I want to mention to you quickly, as places where that needs a visit from the master, I want you to turn your Bible very quickly this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want you to read in verse number 1. We're going to talk about the first house to which we need to ask the Lord Jesus to visit with us. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. I want you to read with me from verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And reading in verse number 1. It reads. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we could be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. The text is speaking of a house. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, watch me this morning. How many of us understand that we are, you are a house. In 2 Corinthians, he's saying, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this is a house. You, your body, your individual being is a house. And so I'm using this word here, house, in the text, as to say this. Individually, we need to ask Jesus to visit my house. Meaning me, personally. Every individual that I've come in contact with, it doesn't matter where, from the football field to maybe a parliament building. Every person that walks the face of the earth, being a house that they are, needs a visit from the Master Christ Jesus. You say, why, preacher? If Jesus doesn't visit you personally, if you don't have a personal encounter, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, hear me well. It means if you close your eyes, you're going to die twice. Let me let it sink in. If you do not have a personal visit from the Lord Jesus Christ, you would die physically, but you would also die spiritually. And the only how to avert spiritual death, which is an eternal separation from God in a place the Bible calls hell, is to have the Master visit you. Jesus is the only Savior. He is the only one that can make any transformation in your life. And how does he come in? You've got, Revelation tells me this, and I'm going to use it a little out of its context. Behold, I stand at the door and what? If any man hears my voice and opens. In other words, you've got to open up and in a nutshell say, Lord Jesus, visit me. I need you personally. Folks, I'm so glad that in 1980, as a 16-year-old boy, I understood my need that if I didn't trust Christ as my Savior, I was going to die and go right to hell. Nobody had to tell me that. The life I live, the choices I make, the things that I was doing, I knew that if I didn't give my life to Christ, I'd die and go to hell. In April of 1980, I invited him into my life. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. And you know what he did? He saved me. He changed me. He gave me hope. I don't have to die and go to hell. Yes. I repeat that. Even if I wanted to, I cannot go to hell. Amen. Because when God saves you, he saves you for time and for all eternity. Amen. But remember this. You've got to invite him. You've got to take him in. John 1:12 says, John chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, verse 12. But as many as what? Call him in. Bring him in. Invite him in. And I'm saying this morning, we need to invite Jesus into our lives personally for salvation. But after he saved me, do I still need him in my life? Oh gosh, I need him bad, preacher. I need him in my personal walk, in my day-to-day walk, in my day-to-day exercise. I just need him. So what do? I constantly ask the Lord Jesus Christ, just abide with me. Because I need the Lord. I know he's coming back for me, but while I live, while I walk, I just need the Lord in my personal life. I'm a preacher, and every time you see I get up to the pulpit to preach, I do not get up to the pulpit to preach because I learned homiletics in college. When I get up to the pulpit to preach, I need him. This song says, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. All is vain. Unless the Spirit of God, unless Jesus shows up, church is a vain activity. I need him to show up when I preach. Because I just need him. So before I come up to the pulpit, I say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm going to get up and preach. I'm going to say what. But I just need him. And you and I need to get this in our hearts straight. Lord, we need you. Personally, me personally, nobody else. I just need you, Lord. Here is the deal. The woman said, Lord, if only I could touch him. The demoniac of Gadara couldn't say anything. As a matter of fact, when he saw Jesus, the demon in the demoniac said, Jesus, I know who you are. Leave me alone. You come to torment me? No. You see, there are times Jesus' intervention, like in the demoniac of Gadara's case, in the same text, chapter 8, is his intervention to help. But Jairus is asking to help. The woman didn't ask, but she touched. And everyone Jesus ministered to. I need him in me personally. I don't live my Christian life for my wife. I don't live my Christian life for my son. I live my Christian life between me and him. I just need him. So I ask him. So my personal house needs a visit, meaning me. I need a visit for salvation. I need a visit for strength. I need a visit to stand. I know nowadays there are so many issues that I'm realizing Christians have to deal with. Well, let me give you a secret. If you don't personally have the conviction in you to stand, you may stand with a group for a little while, but you can quickly fall away. But if you personally decide, you know what, Lord, I'm standing because of you. Give me the strength to stand. Because I need you to help me to stand in the amount of different things we have to deal with. I just need you personally. And by the way, you could also ask him personally for your help. There was a time I was 18 years, and I would play basketball. There was enough ups, jump in my leg that I would stay right underneath the basketball just a little bit. My older brother, and we did it for fun. We did it sometimes for a little show off. He would chest pass me that basketball. I'd take that basketball, chest pass, and I'd take it. No bumping it, nothing. And just go straight up. And I'd dunk it. I had ups. You give me a basketball now, the ring looks so high. You'd have to give me a runway to take speed. And you may still have to put something there for me. What had happened? My ups are gone. The physical body is going down. 2 Corinthians 5 says we groan in this one. And some of you groan. You made it to church this morning, but you got up out of bed. There was pain in your knees. There's been pain in your hip. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that this body of ours constantly needs the helping, healing touch of the Master to continue doing what we do. Ask him to go with you. Ask him. Listen, Jesus is still available this morning if you'd only ask him. So you personally need a visit in your house. Let's take another house quickly. And this time I want you to look in Acts. We can take the one that I've had. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. I'm going to speed that up. Acts chapter 16, quickly. Acts 16, 31. I'm going to give you those four houses because we need them. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And that is maybe the more common usage of the word. So you find that about 2,000 times in your Bible. But I'm just going to pick one in Acts 16, 31. In Acts 16, 31, the scripture reads, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy what? Is he talking about your own personal life here now? So who is he talking about? He's talking about your family. He's talking about your household. He's talking about the people that live with you. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord asked Noah to bring his house into the ark. In other words, his household. Hear me well. every household, not just beyond you, needs a visit from the Lord. The people that live with you, your children, maybe your grandchildren. There are lots of people who hurt, mature, respectable people who hurt on the inside and cannot see what the hurt is. Because they hurt over the children, they hurt over their grandchildren. They do not know where they are, and in some cases, they are so embarrassed as to what they're doing. Job had 10 children, and they were all mature. I noticed recently they had houses. The boys had their own house. And the family got together. And when the children were gone, Job's heart was concerned as for his household, his children. He went and he sacrificed just for adventure. Now that they have grown, their heart would turn away from God. Well, hear this. A lot of us maybe sitting in here this morning. You wish your children were serving God. Or your grandchildren. You watch what they're becoming. And you're wondering, Lord, what could I do? Well, maybe you could do nothing because of the situation. But there is somebody who still could do something. That's the Lord Jesus. And you could ask the Lord Jesus to visit your house. Visit your children. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Let me just come a little more personal. A lot of times you see husband and wife come to the house of the Lord. And we need them in the house of God. But man, the devil have been fighting them over the weekend from Friday evening. They quarrel on Friday. They quarrel on Saturday. They quarrel before they left church this morning. Now they sit together in church to make sure nobody gets the picture. And I'm not saying that. But they're hurting. There is no understanding. And they're wishing for help. But even in counseling, you can't really put your finger on what's really the problem. I have learned this. Let the couple spend some time at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are things you cannot answer and I cannot answer. The husband cannot answer and the wife cannot understand. But Jesus can deal with it. So we got to ask him to visit my house. Homes are falling apart. Jesus could fix that. But sometimes nobody asks him. You know, Jesus is a gentleman. If you don't ask, he hurts watching you hurt. And if you'd only just say the word, he would jump right in and help you. You need to ask him, visit my house, Lord. Come home with me. Deal with what I'm dealing with at home because I cannot deal with it. You know, that was Jairus' case. Jairus said, I want you to go home with me because I cannot deal with my little girl dying. I do not know what to do, and there is no medical procedure that I can deal with. But I believe if you go home and just put your hand on, if you go home and rest your hand on her, you could fix that. He asked him to go home with him. There's a third house in the Bible. That third house in the Bible that I'd mention is in 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15, and I'm rushing this now. Stay with me, please. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul the Apostle says this. But if I tarry long, you find it there? 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself where? In the house of where? In the house of God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We had house use, meaning me, and I need a visit from the Lord. We had house use, meaning my family needs a visit from the Lord. But we have house use here now, and this time it speaks of the church, the house of God. Well, what? If there is a place that needs a visit, it's the church. The church of Christ The church has been faced with so much drama. There is so much drama in Christianity that people who really and truly observing from the outside do not have much confidence in church. Too much drama. And not reality. Folks, Christianity is a real life. You don't play church. By the way, if you play in church, you're wasting your time. Don't play church. Don't play church. In other words, Sunday morning, you're sanctimonious, but when we leave here this evening, you're a different kettle of fish. Waste of time. Church is not how well we can sing three songs, give the announcement, preach for 20 minutes, and go home. By the way, in America, church is an hour. So I've already violated you. I'm sorry. You know, that's kind of a shameful. Let me just tell you straight up. It's kind of shameful that the God who made you gave you so much time. But when it comes to worship, you got to be 10 minutes. And if he cannot walk in 10 minutes, then you don't want it. Kind of a shameful. Christianity needs a visit from the master. We need to come in church. I've read of the old churches especially, and I'd say this again respectfully, older black churches, how they would come to the house of the Lord. And there was something at the front called a mourner's bench, a bench across there. And it was said that before church started, these older women would go to the mourner's bench. Church didn't start yet. They would go to the mourner's bench, and you could hear them crying and moaning and groaning and begging God, "Oh God, visit our church. Lord, preach my preacher today. Oh God, speak." They're begging God that he, God, would speak to them through the preacher. They do not just want a little moment in the building. They want God to visit with them reality in their lives. We need that in our day, don't we? Man, we need it. We need that in our church. You do not want your pastor just to get up and give you an outline because he can make an outline and give you 2 points of primary lesson. You want God. You want God to show up in the preaching. You want God to minister to your need. You came here with a burden of need, and there are people on the outside. When you carry that burden, they're going to get it. I want God to show up at our church. Where we are in Mamikan, I tell them over and over. We do not want to come because we could come. When we come here on Sunday morning, sin before you come here. When you leave home, while you're walking over to church, pray, ask God, help me today, Lord. Lord, you might be dealing with something that nobody knows. Ask God to help me today, Lord. Speak to my heart today, Lord. You might be bringing somebody. Lord, help my husband. Listen, speak with God so that when we come, we are expecting God to show up. Ask the Lord to visit your church. Churches need revival. How are we going to get it? He has to show up. Revival doesn't come in little spoon-fed portions. Churches need a visit. Somebody got to get to God and say, Lord, visit my church. And the last one, you could find it all through the Bible, and I'm going to mention it. Ezekiel in chapter 3. The Lord said, Ezekiel 3, 17 and 18. Son of man, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made you a watchman. A watchman where? If you read it in Ezekiel 3, he said, I've made you a watchman over the house of Israel. He said, I made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Preacher, what's that? Go with me now. We're using the same word house. House meaning me, one. House meaning my family, two. House meaning my church, three. But what's the fourth house? What's the house of Israel? The nation of Israel. America is a strong, powerful nation. But you know what America needs as a nation? You know what it needs, right? A visit from God. You're throwing God out of your everything. The American system is trying to get rid of God. When you get rid of God, you're asking God to pour a judgment. Somebody needs to ask God, visit the nation. In our little country of Grenada, 110 people, 120 square miles, 3 hours of driving and there is nowhere else you can go. But in our little nation of Grenada, I am watching God, even through our Bible project. Our prime minister got his Bible and took his Bible joyfully. Every member of cabinet took their Bible joyfully. Every ministry had the workers in the ministry receive their Bible. And we're working through every school. You say, preacher, what is the intention? If only God could be exalted as a nation. When a nation exalts God, God would exalt the nation. I'm begging God to visit us. Visit our country. And I'm saying, we pray that God visit you here in America. You say, why? Because what America does affects us in the rest of the world. Oh God, America needs a visit from you. We are allowing immorality and we are allowing filth to stand up as if that's right. You cannot make wrong feel right and not expect God to deal with it. We need a visit from God. Here's what I'm going to say and I'm done. Somebody needs to develop the boldness and say, God, like Jairus, I want you to go home with me. Visit my house. Visit my house. Whether it's me, my family, my church, or my nation. Because if you don't go home with me, somebody gonna die. Precious, precious and valuable are gonna die. I need you to visit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You hear with me this morning, you say, Pastor Mike's, I want God to visit with me. I need a visit. I don't need a show. I just want him to visit with me. I'm dealing with stuff that I struggle to deal with, I don't know how to deal with. And Lord, I want you to visit with me. How many of you this morning would be brave enough to say, Lord, I'm going to ask you. I hope you're obliged to visit like he did there in the scripture. Lord, I need a visit from you. If you're like that this morning, you say, would you pray for me? I would pray for you, but I want you personally. Thank you. I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank you. I need you personally to say, you know what? I'm gonna make my way around God's altar. Jairus wasn't afraid. Jairus presented himself. It didn't matter who was there. He bowed his knees in front of the crowd, in the front of Christ, and asked him to go home with him. He saw a miracle. Would you this morning do the same thing? I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask a preacher to come, but I'm going to invite you. You really desire an intervening touch of God. Slip out from your seat. Let's meet around God's altar quickly. Let's meet around God's altar quickly and ask the Lord Jesus to visit with us. Pastor, preacher, you will come. Lord, visit with me, please. I need a visit from you. Visit me personally, Lord Jesus. I got stuff I'm dealing with I don't know how to deal with. I need help that you alone can give me. Lord, I need answers that I've never asked anybody to give me an answer for, but I need help. And oh, Jesus, would you visit with me this morning? I need a visit from him. Father, I honor you. I beg you. I thank you. Speak to hearts this morning. Oh God, ring that message in our hearts over and over again that we just need you. God, we need you. I need you. I need you. Every need mentioned to you, Lord, we pray for our loved ones. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our church, God, and this nation of America. Oh, God, we lift it before you. Please, God, visit with us. Help us to understand when you visit what it is that you do. Turn us around. In Jesus' name, preacher.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.